buddy.
Hi, guys. Well, from Salt Lake City, Utah, it's Thank God I'm Atheist, the podcast. I'm Frank Feldman.
And I'm Dan Beecher.
And coming up today, we're going to be talking about starvation.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to be or better put, Ramadan.
We're going to be talking about fasting. We're going to be talking about,
Depriving yourself of shit because of religion.
Food, specifically. Like,
yeah.
Most religions have a tradition of not eating.
Isn't that weird?
It's very weird. And we're going to talk about it.
We have a few theories that we want to throw around.
They are all wrong.
Just us.
Every one of our theories.
These are our theories.
I guarantee you is incorrect. But we're going to spout them anyway. Because that's what we do.
That's coming up later. All right, Dan.
Yeah, what do you got?
I have a pastor in Africa who is...
Always a good start.
In Zimbabwe.
Oh, dear.
To be precise.
Yeah, this is getting better and better.
And there's video backing this up.
Okay.
He claims... to have God's telephone number, and he speaks to God on his cell phone during like church services.
Oh, fuck yes! Oh my God, yes!
Yeah. And so in this video that's really making the rounds right now, he is seen sort of pacing back and forth, and there's this woman who's kneeling down. You can't really hear anything the woman's saying, but you hear him, you know, he's got his cell phone to his ear, and he's sort of doing that thing that psychics do where he's kind of fishing. Like
reading.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Where he's like, you know, why is God showing me the image of a heart? He asks her, right?
Oh, that's great.
And like, one of the best things is he goes... what else? Papa God? Keeps calling Papa God.
I want to know what the listing is in his phone. Like, what that number, like, is labeled. Is it God?
Papa God. Yeah, he's so this would be, if you just saw the video, like, I know some of these pastor guys can be a little crazy. But it could have also just been a device. Maybe it was a little gimmick, right? Does he really believe this? I don't know. Well, he's been interviewed by a news site in Zimbabwe called H Metro. I guess he's also known as Pastor Talent. And he says, this is now a quote, I have a direct channel. Actually, I have his number, and I can call him when need arises.
Oh my God.
It is possible to talk to God. Why would you doubt that I got a call from him? I actually have a direct line which I can call him on and get instructions on how to proceed. I got this when I was praying and I heard a voice telling me to call direct. And at the moment,
I love it. I mean, that's frankly what he's doing. Who was it that was debunked by the Amazing Randy? Was it Popov? Is that who it was that was like, that was getting he had the earpiece in was getting fed information about specific people that they had gathered previous.
Right.
He's doing the same thing, but he's got the earpiece in full view.
Yeah.
He's just calling Papa God, and Papa God's feeding him shit about this person, probably.
Some guy who knows a little bit of this woman's story in the video. So it's a little crazy. He says that he's willing to make God's number available at some point in the future, but only when the time is right.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So, yeah.
He's going to set up a psychic hotline
with God.
With God. Now for just $10.99 a minute, you too can speak directly to God.
Hello, God speaking.
Except that there will be lots of different operators, so you know one of them's going to be like, hello, this is God!
Nah.
Yes, you can probably do it. No, you can't kill somebody just because they stepped on your goose.
Oh, I stepped on your goose. That's wow. That's what jumped into my head.
Wow.
I think chicken was what I was going for.
Wow, Dan.
But goose is what jumped up.
I'm a little surprised.
Yeah.
That really says something about how your brain works.
Or doesn't work, as the case may be. Yes, indeed. Well, there you go. Phone number to God.
Yeah.
Does God use Verizon, Hotline. Do you think?
No, he would never use Verizon.
God, no. What carrier is God on?
Oh, my guess is he probably, probably Cricket.
Yeah.
He seems like a month-to-month sort of guy.
He's not going to commit.
No.
He doesn't want to sign a contract.
And, you know, it's affordable.
Sure.
Right? It's reasonably priced. God likes a bargain.
He's a smart God. And he doesn't need a smartphone. He doesn't need the data because he's got all the information. So he's all knowing. So all he needs is like just bare bones plan.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to shift us to Austin, Texas, which I don't know if you knew this. I do know that you do know this, but I'm going to throw out that it is the capital of that fair state.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I've been through that Capitol building. It is an odd, a very strange hue of pink.
Really?
Like this vague gray pink.
Oh, sounds beautiful.
The exterior, it's not. I did not enjoy that. anywho, another thing that I don't enjoy is the bill that has just passed the House and is moving on to the state Senate there in Texas. The bill essentially is there to ensure that a practice can continue legally in the state. And this is a practice of adoption agencies and organizations.
Okay.
To deny adoption to households that are not Christian or that are not straight.
This is a bill.
At
the legislature?
Yeah.
You have to be Christian?
But if that organization wants to discriminate against non-Christians or gays, they would be allowed to.
Oh, my God.
It was approved 94-51.
Of course it was, yeah.
In the GOP-controlled...
Yeah, you got to let people discriminate.
You yeah, gotta allow
right.
it.
It's an important right that we have in
right.
this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good. Protecting the right to discriminate.
Yeah. It's pretty important because, you know, Jesus.
Right.
And stuff.
Yeah.
This is one of those moments where there's like that weird sort of theoretically symbiotic relationship between the state and private entities. So these are private entities, but they're still tasked with taking like foster kids, kids that have been in the public system.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting public funds, they're getting public money, but they're tasked with finding them homes. And the last thing you want to do is make sure that you keep all of the options open.
Right.
When you're trying to place children into caring, loving homes. What you don't want to do, what you want to do is make sure that you cut off a good segment
of
the population.
Shut it down.
Straight out.
Well, because there are desirable people.
Yeah.
And there are less desirable people.
Right.
Clearly. And Christians are just more desirable when it comes to adoption.
Yeah.
They just make better parents.
Here's a great quote.
You do know this, right, Dan?
Right. Well, as a straight white man, former Christian,
yeah,
I can understand that. Yes, I would have at that point made a much better parent than
than you do now.
That I'm a terrible parent now. I don't even know where my kids are.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any kids that I know about.
Oh,
boom. Here's a representative, James Frank of Wichita Falls, Texas, said, quote, "We want to make reasonable accommodations so everyone can participate in the system. Everyone is welcome, but you don't have to think alike to participate."
Okay.
Oh my God.
It's bullshit.
He's characterizing it in terms of equality. You gotta love it.
You gotta love that kind of balls.
Yeah.
This is about equality, Frank.
Of course it is.
It's about, you know, opening up the adoption racket to bigots and non-bigots alike.
Yeah. I'm an equal opportunity discriminator.
Right.
I discriminate against people equally.
Mm. Right. I don't think anybody does that.
No, I mean, no, my discrimination is equal. They aren't.
Right. Okay. If organizations, this is Rebecca Robertson of the ACLU. She says, if organizations are turning people away and those people are unable to be served, that's a violation.
Mm.
I know this bill would make that happen at multiple levels in the state welfare system. What? How can she claim that? Just because it's a bill specifically designed so that people can discriminate? What? I feel like she's way off base.
Oh, my God. All right. God. Well, I wouldn't expect anything else from that great state of Texas, to be honest.
What a state it is. Yeah.
And what a state it's in. All right. I want to move up to... Actually, I don't want to move to Montana, but I'm going to tell a story about Montana.
Mm.
And what's his name? Greg John Forte.
Oh, yes.
Greg John Forte. Is he a billionaire? He's a millionaire for sure.
He's hundreds
of millions.
A hundredaire.
He's a hundred millionaire. he's running for this open seat in the congressional seat up in Montana.
Right. Montana is one of those states that's small enough that they only have a single congressional seat.
Right.
In our nation's Congress.
And it is currently open at
right.
the moment. And so they there's this special election going on, and Greg John Forte was already worth mentioning because before he really hit the news, body slamming a British reporter who was asking him questions,
mm-hmm.
dared to ask questions in an aggressive manner,
yes.
apparently, but nonetheless. Greg John Forte resorted to physical violence.
Just slamming him against the ground and apparently breaking his glasses.
Yeah, and now he's actually facing charges of some kind and
yeah.
la-di-da. But the reason I wanted to bring him up, because this clearly really shows off what a great candidate he is.
Mm.
But there were already things going on here, folks. Apparently, so he gave this talk back in 2015 at the Montana Bible College, where he goes on record saying that he doesn't believe in retirement. This is just not something that we should do, nor that we should be promoting.
Okay.
Because Noah didn't retire. He was like 600 when he built the ark. That's what the guy says. Okay. There's nothing in the
man.
Bible that talks about retirement. This is a quote. And yet, it's been an accepted concept in our culture today. Nowhere does it say, well, he was a good and faithful servant, so he went to the beach. It doesn't say that anywhere. How old was Noah when he built the ark? 600. He wasn't, like, cashing Social Security checks. He wasn't hanging out. He was working. The concept of retirement is not biblical. All words from him. All words from him.
He's made some really strong points here. He knows what he's talking about because, I believe that the Christian concept is that only things that are expressly written about in the Bible can exist.
He's a biblical originalist.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So really, what's he even doing? Like, he shouldn't even have a cell phone because that's not biblical. Shouldn't
not
have
a, in the Bible.
Shouldn't have a car.
Definitely not a car.
I mean, get yourself an iron chariot.
Yeah.
Do one of those.
Yeah. Ride around on a camel.
Not only are those biblical, but even God was unable to turn away an iron chariot.
Yeah.
That's how you beat God at his own game.
Oh my God.
Apparently iron chariots way too much for God to handle.
Yeah. He's a crazy one.
Yeah, that's
he's
how short-sighted of a human do you have to be to look at life and go, yeah, I can probably work until I'm dead. I don't see any problem with that. There's what could possibly happen after the age of 65, 70 that could keep me from working until I'm dead? What could go wrong in that? I mean, the guy's got millions or whatever. But
apparently, no, it is billions. Okay. This article, at least this article, refers to him as a billionaire businessman.
Well, gosh.
At age 56, who really understands
the plight of the little guy?
Absolutely.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, sure.
You know, because he, he's a good guy.
Yeah, you got to love a billionaire who's like, everybody should keep working, because I guess, guess what? That dude's not going to be working.
Right. Because also there's the whole thing that, like, A, the kind of work he was doing didn't break his body in any way, shape, or form.
Right, yeah.
He has all the best medical care. So if he wants to just keep on doing what he's doing, you know.
The doctors can probably keep him going.
The doctors can keep him going. And he can make business decisions from a hospital room if necessary, right?
Right.
Like, this guy is so out of touch.
Well, yeah, that's the truth. The truth is that his idea of work happens behind a desk.
Yeah. It's a,
guess what? That's not what work is. For millions and millions of people, that is not what work is.
Exactly. And so to deny or to suggest there's something wrong with people wanting to end their toiling, you know, their labor, their actual labor.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Okay. No fucking way. Fuck you, John Forte.
Yeah.
Greg John Forte.
I really do hope that this incident, I know that this incident with the, with attacking the journalist has, like, the Billings newspaper in Montana withdrew their endorsement of him.
Great.
And so it might have some effect. It is unclear to me whether a violent outburst against a journalist will hurt or help a man who's running for office in Montana. That is not clear to me. It could, for all the world, it could make him more appealing to a, you know, to somebody wearing a red Make America Great Again cap. That might make him better.
Yeah.
So, hard to say.
Apparently, this country likes loose cannons in office.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, and, you know, the time for violence has returned. I feel like real men hit other men.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we know.
Especially when it's a British reporter.
Well, actually, I think that I listened to the audio, and I think the reporter's American.
Oh, he just works for the Guardian?
He just works for the Guardian.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, especially a turncoat.
Right? Here's what's funny about that. Guess what newspaper uncovered his ties to Russian corporations?
Which?
The Guardian.
Oh.
So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So he's not. He doesn't like the Guardian.
He's grumpy.
Poor
guy. A grumpy. Likes to hit people. I'm going to move on to... you know, the Bible has some things to say about borrowing and about lending.
Yeah. Yeah, actually.
It doesn't like it.
Does not.
Lenders are bad in Christianity, which is why for centuries, Christian merchants had to borrow from Jewish bankers, from Jewish merchants, because there's no prohibition in Judaism against the lending of money.
Right.
But there is in Christianity. So, like,
yeah,
that's where the whole Merchant of Venice thing comes from. Mm-hmm. For centuries, this was the way of the thing.
Right. And the Muslims still do that.
Borrow from Jews?
Well, no, they don't borrow.
Okay. Fair enough. I did not know that.
You didn't know that about Muslims?
No.
Yeah, there's actually a special financial, it's in lieu of a loan, they are able to purchase a home. The bank, like, buys the house for them and then sells it back to them for, like, a significant markup.
Okay.
And then they just pay a monthly percentage over the course of so many years.
Totally. It's a mortgage, not a loan. It's nothing like a loan. What are you talking about?
Can you believe that?
Yes, I can. Of course I can believe
it. But there is no interest rate applied to it.
Right.
They just mark up.
Right. You've just bought the house at a higher amount.
But no interest.
Right. Great. Fantastic, guys. Good workaround. Anyway, so there's... Are you aware there's a website called Prosper? It was popular for a little while. I haven't been on it for a minute, but it's a website where people can go on and request money, request a loan from the Prosper community. For X amount of dollars. They explain why they want it. They explain what they're looking, you know, what they're looking to do in terms of a payment structure. And then regular Joes can sort of jump in and fund the thing.
Right.
And you can fund part of a thing, you know, or you can fund the whole thing. And it's basically like, you know, you get to be on the bank side of the transaction and hopefully make money off of them.
Crowd lending.
Yeah. And okay. it's relatively successful. It's a pretty good, for the most part, pretty good bet.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. And it gets a lot of people loans who wouldn't normally get a loan.
Interesting. Okay.
I like it. I think it's a cool thing. Here's another cool thing. It's given them data. They have data that can be mined for interesting, you know, studies.
Yeah.
And a study has been done by a, some Columbia University economists. And they, two from Columbia, one from University of Delaware.
Okay.
And they've sort of mined the loan offers, or the people asking for loans. They've checked, they've sort of gone into their verbiage and figured out what words are most likely to be correlated with loan repayment and what words are most likely to be correlated with non-repayment.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I'm going to give you a list of words at random.
Okay. And you want me just to pick?
And you're going to pick. Half of them will be associated with words or phrases, and half of them will be associated with
payment or non-repayment.
With payment, and half will be associated with default.
Okay. Payment and default. Okay.
So, debt-free, promise, God, minimum payment, lower interest rate, will pay, graduate, thank you. After tax, hospital.
Default.
No. Half of them are default and half of them are...
Oh, I thought you were going to give me one at a time.
Oh, no.
And then you gave me a list.
You know what? I did the same thing that this article did because this article confused me in the same way that I just confused you. I thought I had made it clear.
I don't understand what I'm supposed to do.
Just pick out a few of those that you think are associated with default and a few that are associated with...
Give me the words.
Okay. Debt-free...
Okay, so debt-free, I'm going to say repayment.
Okay.
Okay.
Promise.
Promise, default.
God.
Default.
Minimum payment.
Interesting. I'm going to say default.
Will pay.
That sounds like default as well.
Thank you.
Default.
Yeah, here's what's interesting. I'm going to cut it off there, but
they all sound suspicious.
The phrases that are used by people most likely to pay you back are debt-free, lower interest rate, after tax, minimum payment, and graduate.
Okay.
The phrases used by those least likely to pay you back: God, promise, will pay. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, so, I mean, for me, the takeaway here is if someone is talking about business, they understand that there's a monetary transaction happening and they're wanting to participate in that with you.
Right.
Then they're on the up and up and you're golden.
Right.
If they're appealing to your emotions, walk away clean, brother, because you are not getting that money back.
Right.
And God's the biggest one. If they mention God, get the fuck out of Dodge. That person is, you are never going to see that money again.
Is that what the article says?
Basically, yeah. I mean,
if the person, the Is it the most suspicious of the words? Like, does it rank the words?
Yeah. I mean, so basically it said, I don't know that it ranked them.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember if it did or not. But it does say, like, yeah, if someone writes, I promise I will pay back, so help me God, he is among the least likely to pay you back. Like, people who invoke God. And I've seen this in my own life. Like, this was obvious to me, and I didn't know why, but I have definitely seen in my own life. As soon as someone says, you know, I'm a good Christian, and I promise you that I will do this.
The least trustworthy person you could.
Never. I would never go in with that person on anything. If they're talking numbers, I'll hear you out.
Well,
but if you start saying, you know, as a Christian, I think we can, we know that we can blah, blah,
well,
blah.
No, it's,
or
it's,
as
it's,
a believer, you know, or God, you know, my belief in God would make sure that I never default on anything.
Right. No, because what they're having to do is they're having to go to an external source, right? Sort of the highest authority that they can think of as a defense for their character.
Right.
Right. Rather than just having good character.
Right.
Rather than just having, like, having the bulk,
yeah,
the sum value of all their actions speak for themselves,
right?
Right, and their knowledge about how things work,
right,
speaking for themselves,
right. The second they invoke God, they're on the defensive.
Yeah, exactly.
They're on the defensive because they've clearly done shit in the past. And they know that.
And it's the only thing that they can invoke. It's the only thing they can put forward,
yeah,
as a testament to their character.
Yeah. Also, if someone says that,
interesting,
you know, they're trying to, you know, their mom's in the hospital and they need help paying,
right,
blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Run.
Whereas
don't
a
walk.
Graduate is somebody who has worked hard for something.
Right. If they're invoking
ostensibly,
the fact that they've,
right,
that they've graduated from something,
yeah,
they're trying to demonstrate that they have staying power, that,
uh-huh,
they can commit to something and see,
yeah,
it through, all
right,
of that sort of thing.
Right.
It doesn't prove that they can.
No. No.
But
it's a decent testament that they, well, that they have.
Yeah.
On at least that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My God.
Interesting.
So, yes. Let that be a lesson to us all. If someone wants something of you and they start saying, so help me God. Then,
yeah,
so help you, God, get out of there.
All right, Dan.
Hmm?
Art heist.
Scun-dun-dun! That sounds exciting.
It doesn't it, just, right?
Yeah.
A piece of art,
yeah,
valued at $125,000,
okay,
was stolen here in Salt Lake City.
What?
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
And the Salt Lake PD was on it.
They put
three detectives and considered the whole thing a top priority for the department.
This, okay, must have been owned by the church.
No.
Oh.
But it was Mormon art.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Owned by a businessman.
Uh-huh.
And that was kept outside. it's statuary.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And at his little business park thing up on Third West, right at the bend where it turns into Beck Street, that little business thing right,
yeah,
there, that kind of gross area.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, it's a bit grungy over there.
Yeah. Well, he has this bronze statue of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young sitting on a park bench that was outside of...
What?
Yeah.
How did I not know this existed? Oh!
Well, these thieves knew that it existed.
Yeah.
And...
How was I not the one that stole this? I want to be the one that stole this.
No, you don't. They got caught.
Okay.
Or they're in the process of getting caught. They have two of them. Two of the four are in custody.
Uh-huh.
This came in on an anonymous tip.
Oh.
Came in. Because clearly somewhere a bronze sculpture of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young just appeared.
Yeah.
And these people didn't carve it up quickly enough.
Oh.
Because that's what one would do with this.
Carve it up?
Bronze. Sell that shit.
No.
800 pounds.
Wow.
Of bronze.
No, I wouldn't sell that for anything. That goes in the personal collection.
Well,
that's in my backyard.
Yeah, like,
forever.
If this is what the Thomas Crown affair,
Or the Dan Beecher affair. I'll tell you what. If it were me, I probably would have. If I had ever stolen it, it would have been as a prank, and it would have shown up on somebody else's lawn. Like,
yeah. Well, there was a security camera on it, Dan.
Of course there was. Yeah, I would never actually do this. I would assume that there are security cameras everywhere.
And an old pickup towing a single axle trailer showed up in the dead of night.
Right.
Earlier this week, Tuesday.
Because that's how you do this.
4 a.m. on Tuesday, so just like 3 days ago.
Uh-huh.
These thieves showed up. The video, which is posted online, is actually pretty amazing to watch. Because, like, two guys get out of the truck really quickly, and they, like, run over to the statue. And then they kind of, you don't really see much. And then the truck kind of repositions itself. And then, like, a woman gets out of the truck.
I mean,
a little bit into the whole thing.
This thing had to be secured to the ground.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Right?
It is 800 pounds. They probably just pick. You have to secure something that's 800 pounds. Anyway, and then this fourth guy gets out of the truck, and he's got a limp, and he kind of limps across.
God.
And it's you actually. You can't really see the statue is just out of frame, right?
Okay.
Just barely out of frame.
Sure.
So they...
Because they would assume, logically, that nobody would fucking steal that
They will be either adding a camera or just slightly turning this camera in the future. So they somehow get it onto the trailer. Everybody's mystified.
Yeah. Right?
The detectives who were on the case, the owner of the piece of work or piece of art, they're all just completely, completely mystified. Like, they had to use, like, a small crane to put the thing in place, right? Like, they didn't manhandle the thing into position. And so the idea of four people getting around this thing.
Yeah.
800 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Like, this would be no small feat picking this thing up and putting it on the back of this trailer.
No, but
they tear off into the night.
Totally worth it, because
not now.
Because that's what you really want is 800 pounds of art that no one's gonna buy,
right?
And oh my God, I'm watching the video now.
Yeah, the video is.
These guys are really dumb.
Oh yeah, no.
That's amazing.
But somehow somebody. They must have just been sitting around going, you know what? If we cut this thing up, we'd be able to sell it all off and blah, 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 blah. Because
this is clearly like they planned this. They planned the whole heist out.
Yeah.
Like, who steals that thing? It's just a park bench with two guys on it. Who steals that? Why? It's not. We're not talking about like. Edvard Munch's The Scream. We're talking about...
I don't know. Maybe they had a good fence, you know?
They must have, boy. Oh, my God. That's so...
Sell that thing on the Mormon black market.
And they were just like, yeah. Yeah, no. they had a buyer lined up.
No, they didn't.
They had a buyer in somewhere in southern Utah.
There's no way. These guys were going to scrap it. At least that's the theory that the police had.
That
the thing was going to be scrapped. They found it intact, and it's en route back to the owner at this point.
The bench is great because it's one of those bench statues where you can sit next to them.
Uh-huh,
There's a space next to them, so you can sort of sit there
and join in.
Pretend like you're part of their conversation.
As soon as it's back, we should go pay it a visit.
Oh, I'm going. Believe me, the plans are already in the works, my friend. I'm there.
It's such a dumb place for this, though.
Yeah. How is that not
the most nondescript? Actually, it is a little descript. It's ugly and run down business, like, complex.
It's a shitty part of town.
Yeah.
Like, if your offices are there, your business is struggling.
Well, not necessarily. They're,
unless you're an oil refinery.
Well, there's probably businesses that they probably do business with the oil refinery.
Right.
Right.
Fine.
Or the
Wasatch
Springs veterinary hospital is right in that area. You know, like there are legit stuff. It's just just a weird rundown part of town. That's all.
So I'm going to tell you about I've talked to many a former Mormon. Now, as you know, Franklin, and as many of our listeners know, in Mormonism, you pay your full tithe, and they're expecting 10% of your gross income. They are not fucking around, these people.
Right, no, they don't want...
The LDS Church...
Your net.
...wants all of the money.
Yeah.
And they get it. They are very effective at getting people's tithing. So when people leave the church, they frequently have a moment of like, hey, give me back that money. That was my hard-earned money, and you were lying to me this whole time.
Right.
Yeah, you're never going to see that money again.
Right.
But there's this process of grieving that people go through
about
when they realize how the fuck much money they've given to this organization. Yeah. Well, here's a take on it that I had never seen before. A man named Curtis DeYoung, a very Mormon-y name. There's a whole DeYoung family that I think was Pioneer Stock or whatever.
Oh, okay.
He is now serving a 10-year prison sentence.
Oh, no.
For essentially embezzling $22 million from... He managed retirement funds, and he basically stole all of the money. And he and his wife lived super high off the hog.
Yeah.
Spending people's retirements.
Right.
Well, he was caught because he was an idiot, and that's what happens when you do really stupid fraud.
Right.
So he's going to go to jail. Well, shockingly, he paid his tithing on all of this money.
No way.
So the LDS Church now has hundreds of thousands of dollars of ill-gotten gains. And the victims...
It's not the first, I guarantee you.
The victims are saying they want it back. And
oh, wow. Okay.
And that's kind of fair.
Yeah.
It was not his money to give to them. So, and the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, is attempting to recover the tithing money the church. Now, the church claims that they are trying to cooperate with this, but they claim that
there should be no trying here. This should be a no-brainer for them.
It seems like that to me, but, you know, it is quite a bit of money, and here's their big hang-up.
Oh, no.
His wife was not convicted of anything, and she paid tithing.
Oh, no.
So half of it is in her name. If half of it's in her name, they can't release it. I mean, she's not a criminal. It's just him.
But I'm sure she lost all of her money.
Yeah.
Whatever they had was taken back by the government. Right?
Yeah.
She didn't get to keep half just because she didn't do anything to get it. It was taken from her, too.
One would think the church is trying to pretend like they don't see it that way.
Oh. What fucking douchebags. What a bunch of fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Give these people back at least 10% of their lost retirements.
You're a... 100
fucking pieces of shit.
You're possibly $1 trillion organization, billions of dollars of
billions
work.
Of dollars,
billions and billions. You can afford to give to try and make these people a little bit more whole.
Yeah,
their retirement is gone.
Yeah, it's a small fraction of what they gave this asshole.
Right, but the phrase "What would Jesus do?" only applies if it's not business. I think.
Well, as long as these guys were good Mormons, the Bishop Storehouse can take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they were paying their tithing, the church will take care of them.
Oh, my God. So stupid.
That makes me really angry, Dan.
But the fact that they're even considering releasing any of the tithing money in the world back into the wild.
Why is that a dangerous precedent? That's why they're fighting it.
Maybe.
They're like, no, this is a one-way street right here. The money flows in, it doesn't flow out.
Although it is interesting because the church said that they have that part of the reason that this is taking so long is that they have a process, and it's a complicated process.
Well, I've got a phone number they could call to get some answers.
To call to God? Yeah. Does he speak English or is it just whatever Zimbabwean?
No, the guy was speaking English.
Okay.
In the video.
They should call Papa God.
Papa God.
See what Papa God has to say about it. Well, if you guys have anything you need to say to Papa God, write to us instead, because Papa God's not going to answer you.
Never.
That's a podcast at thankgodimatheist.com.
Or you could call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
It is indeed. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist, and see what fun things... Right. So recently, I posted a thing on my Facebook page because I was sat in a window seat on one of the planes coming back from Hawaii.
Okay.
One of my great joys in life is the window seat of an airplane. I love looking out on the world. It happened to be the one seat on the plane that had just a wall.
Oh, no.
No window.
Damn.
I posted a picture of me angrily pointing at where the window should have been. A wall seat. Yeah. I got a wall seat.
Yeah.
Mackenzie then posted that onto the TGIA homepage, asking people to Photoshop in whatever they thought I was angrily pointing at.
Oh.
I thought that was funny. Anyway, if you want to participate in that, if you got them Photoshop skills with a Z, go to facebook.com/TGIAtheist.
And, you know, while you're on Facebook, you can also search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge and request to join. It's a closed group, but we'll let you in.
Yep.
Dan.
Oh, yes.
It's time to listen in on some audio.
Okay, this is political audio.
Oh,
we're getting into politics here.
It's dangerous.
It's a dangerous thing.
It's a topic you're not supposed to talk about, Dan, in amongst polite company.
Well,
and
I think this whole show is all the topics you're not supposed to talk about at a dinner party is what our show is about. This is the Minnesota House of Representatives, on the House floor. A Democrat was asking a Republican, her name is Abigail Whalen, was asking her a question about a bill that she was a proponent of. And she has an interesting answer.
Will Representative Whalen yield to a question?
She will yield, Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Whalen, in light of what Representative Hornstein just said, do you think... benefiting people who are hiding money in Liberia is more important and is worth raising taxes on your own constituents?
Representative Whalen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative Thiessen, for the question. It might be because it's late and I'm really tired, but I'm going to take this opportunity to just share with the body something I have been grappling with over the past several months, and that is the games that we play here. And I just want you to know, Representative Thiessen and the DFL caucus, I forgive you. It is okay, because I have an eternal perspective about this. I have an eternal perspective, and I want to share that with you and with the people listening at home, that at the end of the day, when we try to reach agreement with divided government, we win some, we lose some, nobody's really happy. But you know what? Happiness and circumstances, not what it's about. There is actual joy to be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you all. If you would like to get to know him, if you're listening at home, if you're here in this room, please email me, call me. I'd love to talk to you about Jesus. He is the hope of this state and of this country.
Wow.
What a sanctimonious piece of shit.
Good way to not answer a question, though. Fantastic dodge.
Yeah. That's a really, really dumb tactic on her part.
I really love the fact that she forgave him for disagreeing with her, for playing the games of politics. Don't worry, I forgive you, because I have an eternal perspective.
I hate her.
But ladies and gentlemen, here's one of the takeaways of that. She's happy to talk to any of us about Jesus.
Uh-huh.
She said email or call her.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give out her email address and her phone number. because that's what she wanted.
She invited.
She asked for it. So, ladies and gentlemen, get your pens or pencils ready. Here you go. If you feel the need or the desire or that little tickle in the back of your mind to give her a little shout out, rep.abigail.whalen@house.mn is her email address.
Oh, wow.
Or you can just call her at 651-926-1729.
There you go.
Give her a call.
Give her a call.
Demand to speak with her about Jesus.
Jesus, that's what she says.
She said she's
happy to talk to anybody.
Anybody at home, anybody, she's happy to talk to you about Jesus.
Yeah.
So give her a call.
Yeah.
Or write to her.
Ask her about Jesus.
Jesus is her homeboy.
Oh.
And also the place where she doesn't have to talk about the shitty bill that she's decided to endorse.
Sounds like a piece of work, this one.
Yeah. So we had some people write into us, call into us. We have various e and voice mails. We have the mails of all sorts. I will start with something from Seth, who writes, "Hey, Frank and Beans." Cute.
You're Beans.
I'm Beans. I'm emailing in response to your request for stories about exorcisms. You remember we had talked about exorcisms
and we had said,
hey, if you have an exorcism. So my name is Seth. I'm an atheist from West Virginia. The story I was first told to me about 10 years ago is about something that happened when I would have been about around one. First off, I do not believe any of the supernatural elements of the story actually happened, but I will tell it as it was told to me. It starts with one of my mother's uncles committing suicide. Some of his furniture ended up at our house. Shortly after, my older sister, who would have been around 7, said she would see things. She described them as little floating monkey skeletons.
Ew.
Spooky.
Spooky.
My brother, around 3, said he saw them too.
How'd she know they were monkeys?
She's a biology major in first grade. My other sister, 5, did not see them. Huh. My parents never saw anything, but my mom felt uneasy. She would ask my sister where the things were that she saw. She said they would sometimes float around in circles above me in my crib. So after a week or so, my mom had people from the church, including the pastor, come over. They got rid of the furniture they brought home from her uncles and then blessed the house.
Aww.
After that, my sister and brother never saw the floating monkey skeletons again.
Because they got rid of the furniture. That possessed evil furniture.
Yeah, demon furniture. Monkey demon furniture. I admit that when I first heard the story, it freaked me out a bit. But after a while, I realized it wasn't real. My sister most likely imagined it, as kids often do. And my brother, who was much younger, just copied her. Mm-hmm. At least I have a good ghost story I can tell around campfires.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Ooh.
We got rid of the desk.
Have you heard the story?
Monkey skeleton.
Of the monkey skeletons.
Yeah. Ugh.
Monkeys can be creepy. They're good to throw into your creep story. And if they're skeletons, it's
even better.
You got like a Pirates of the Caribbean thing going on.
Skeletons are always good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you combine them, and what do you got? Floating monkey skeletons.
Yeah.
Skun-dun-dun.
I wouldn't even know what to do with myself.
Right.
I'd shit myself right there.
If you saw a monkey skeleton floating
above a crib with a 1-year-old,
I would not be okay with that.
Yeah, I would lose control of my bowels.
Thanks for writing in, Seth. Matthew wrote in and said, "Don't know if you saw this or noticed, but when Trump and his ilk met with the Pope, Melania and Ivanka had to wear all black, full sleeves, and head veils."
Yeah, I saw that picture.
I saw it too. What the fuck, he says. "How many American Catholics criticize the burqa and the whole Sharia thing? I grew up Catholic, grade school, high school, sacraments, etc., and I had no idea this was a requirement." I have sent a CNN... he sent a CNN video to us. We're not going to play that on the air. That shows in Saudi Arabia, of all places, the veil and all black is optional for Western women.
Hmm.
Not with the Pope.
Now, the Pope's special.
Yeah.
Pope is special. You play by his rules.
It's
you want
amazing.
An audience with the Pope, you follow the rules.
So funny that, I mean, you know, even Pope Progressive over there, like, women have to wear a veil, and boy.
Yeah.
And, of course, people, there's that photo of that's like, it's Ivanka in a very, actually quite fetching ensemble. Mm-hmm. She was very, very fashionable. The veil looked great.
Yeah.
Then Melania in what looks like, she looks like she's an Albanian woman in mourning or whatever. It's the weirdest thing. She looks like she's saying she's selling flores para los muertos. Then, and they both are like stone face.
Yeah.
Like they've been frozen by whatever it is that freezes people. I think there's a Doctor Who episode. Anyway, they both look completely.
Right.
They're Adam's family.
Right.
Then there's Donald with a giant shit-eating grin on his face.
Of course.
And the Pope looking for all the world like he is mad as hell.
Pope mad.
Yeah. And then of course there are all these photoshops where they've included the twins from The Shining and Damien because they fit. Literally, it doesn't look different. It doesn't change the mood of the photo at all to include these other creepies in it.
Yeah. So I had to look this up a little bit. Apparently, there are six or eight women in the world who are allowed to participate in the tradition of wearing du blanc when they visit the Pope.
Oh!
They get to wear all white.
Instead of all black.
These are members of royal families from specifically Catholic majority countries in Europe. So like the Roman or the royal family of Belgium, I think Luxembourg was one of them, Spain, they get to show up in all white if they want to.
Oh,
what isn't that exciting?
What a coup for them. Wow, they still have a full dress code.
Uh-huh.
But it's the other color.
But it's the other color.
So wow. I feel bad for Spicer, who's like the only Catholic in the group in Trump's inner circle. And Trump was like, nah, fuck you. You don't get to meet him.
Oh, poor guy.
Poor little Spicy.
Poor guy. And apparently also Francis, Pope Francis has not been the most strict on this policy.
Uh-huh.
Other popes in the past have been very strict about it. And Pope Francis doesn't, if you want to kind of break this protocol, he's not going to call you out.
He won't kick you out.
Right. He'll let you break this policy. But there has not been a single First Lady of the United States to ever break this tradition.
Right.
And so you can find pictures of Hillary Clinton and Barbara and
so
Bush
weird.
And the other Bush.
It's
whatever
just
her
name is. So stupid and weird. Yeah.
Not Nancy, but oh, there's Nancy Reagan. There's a picture of Nancy Reagan that I found.
Here's what I love. I love that. Yeah, you won't see a world leader woman going to Saudi Arabia and wearing the hijab.
Right.
They won't do it.
Right.
You get Angela Merkel up there, she'll purposefully wear something low cut just because fuck you.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
Probably not low cut, but she loves a good fuck you to that.
Yeah.
But then it's okay. Oh, this is our European thing.
Well,
it's different.
I know. The one thing that I didn't see was checking to see if like an Angela Merkel type, the female chancellor of Germany or the female prime minister of Great Britain.
But imagine if your average Trump voter, if how they would have responded if Melania had worn whatever garb was required of her in Saudi Arabia, because that's what was required.
Right.
Imagine the outcry the collective, we all would have heard a scream. We would have been able to hear it this far north from the south.
Yeah.
Because it would just be this horrible thing to kowtow to religious blah, blah, blah. He believes in Jesus. It's okay to oppress women as much as you want.
Right. I know. Isn't it weird?
Stupid. Hey, why don't you play that voicemail?
Okay.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Frank. This is Scott from Illinois. I was just calling. A couple episodes ago, you had some advice from a gentleman who was giving some resources for people who are trying to get clean or, sober. but don't want the AA experience. I myself am a drug addict and alcoholic about to hit the 3-year mark, and I only ever attended one AA session, and that was basically as a bet to my therapist. I think what's really important to add to all of the advice that caller gave about the smart recovery is that a lot of the secular groups, they can be hard to find because there aren't a ton of them, and those kinds of behavioral therapy systems often don't work as well unless you have guidance from a therapist or counselor. So, you know, if there are any listeners out there that are struggling with addiction, there's a ton of places that do outpatient therapy, you know, a couple times a week. And they do it with licensed counselors and therapists, with psychiatrists, as a means to get you help through these wacky things called science and reason, without having to rely on that religious mumbo jumbo. That's what I did. That's what I needed. That's what helped me. You know, AA has a terrible, terrible success rate in every study, and the only benefit that it ever provides the community, which you can get in any number of places, you can get it by joining a club. So if there's any, you know, atheists out there who need to get clean, there's resources. They'll work with you in payment, and they can do it through actual tested behavioral therapies. Thank you guys for sharing that information. I think it's amazing. As an atheist and a recovered addict, I'm glad that there's somebody out there willing to help who they can. Thank you guys. Keep it up.
Well, thank you so much. You know, we've hit this a few times in recent history.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just worth just continuing to have this conversation. You and I don't know a lot about it.
Right.
But boy, there, you know, I certainly don't blame addicts or alcoholics. It's a tough thing. Nobody chooses it.
Mm-mm.
And if you're struggling with addiction or alcoholism, please seek help. And any information is good information. So,
thanks, Scott.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Yeah, for adding more to that discussion.
We're here to support.
It's one that
y'all.
Yeah, we don't. We're not going to tire of this topic. It's one that we need to keep talking about.
Yep.
So,
one more email, if I may. This is from Sarah. And this is a reference to a couple weeks ago, because I wasn't here last week.
That's true.
Dear Frank and Dan, I listened to, well, this says last week's episode, but 2 weeks ago, I listened to the episode twice, because you both spoke about something early on that I wanted to make sure I understood and that I had some thoughts about.
Okay.
In talking about the Boy Scouts of America and how the Mormon Church will be removing its older boys from the organization, you began musing on how more and more of this kind of polarization is splitting America in all fronts. You mentioned that there could end up being conservative soccer teams and restaurants and kinds of organizations, or and kids organizations, and that we are simply further isolating ourselves. And that may be true. But then you said that both sides are doing it and that we need to stop. So, dear podcasters, I want to remind you what these rifts are over, though I'm sure you really know. It's the rights of minorities. It's the rights of minorities to be protected and to be included. That is what the rift is over. One side wants those minorities to be protected and included. The other side doesn't. The Boy Scouts are finally easing on their completely homophobic and discriminatory policies. So the Mormons are leaving. Chick-fil-A gives money to homophobic and anti-gay organizations, so liberals try not to support them. These are not the same thing. We are not equal, and we do not need to come together, put aside our differences, and reunite our soccer teams and restaurants and scouting organizations, because our differences are over who gets equal rights. For them to come back to our table, we have to be willing to go back to discriminating against the LGBT community, and we won't do that. It's wrong, unequivocally, unquestionably wrong. She goes on, but that's the crux of her point.
Mm-hmm.
And while I hear what she's saying, and yes, we cannot tolerate the oppression, and we must fight against the oppression of minority and marginalized groups in this country and abroad and anywhere. And it's not just LGBTQ people, but it's also people of color. It is disabled people. It is any number of groups of marginalized people. While I agree that that is the fight, and that it's hard to come together with people who are on the clearly wrong side of that fight,
right?
I still think it's important to do it. I think it's important to come together. Like, you don't have to. You can a person. Let me tell you something. I got friends who are assholes. Maybe they agree with me on certain things. Maybe they disagree with me on other things. But I've got friends who can be real dicks to people.
Hmm.
And one of the things that, like, is a slightly mitigating influence on them is that they have friends who say, you're being kind of a dick about this.
Hmm.
From a point of view of a friend.
Hmm.
So I'm not willing to give up on people because they have a horrible belief.
Hmm.
I'm willing to not associate with people who are forcefully being dickish all the time. Like if they're not willing to be, you know, I have my limits. Absolutely. Right. But you know, I have people in my life that I love dearly
mm-hmm.
that have very shitty beliefs.
Hmm.
And I, you know, I feel like shutting down the dialogue isn't helping anything.
Hmm.
Polarizing, me going to my corner, them going to their corner, never the twain shall meet. It's not helping. It's not doing anything.
Hmm.
So I choose to continue the conversation. I choose to love other people and realize that we are all very fucking flawed beings.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm coming from.
Right.
Do you have any thoughts?
Well, my only thoughts are, and the reason that I bemoan these divisions and separations is that, and I guess it actually is very similar to what you're saying, is that if your teams can't belong to the same soccer league, ooh. Even though the parents putting their kids in this one team and the parents putting their kids in the other team are diametrically opposed politically or socially or whatever, if your kids can't even play soccer together, right? And this is this is the hypothetical that I don't even think really exists.
Right.
It was our stupid hypothetical.
But could exist.
It could exist. And in some ways, maybe de facto kind of does.
Right.
But if your Boy Scout troops aren't going to the same camps, and ending up rubbing up against ideas that are different than the ones that right. have been taught in their home.
Thank right? God you said ideas.
Believe me, I was struggling for the right word.
Yeah. Rubbing may not have been it. If you're talking about Boy Scout camp, let me tell you something.
Rubbing up against ideas that they haven't heard or encountered before, right? This is, and because this is the thing, I truly believe that the ideas on the left, as far as like with acceptance and sort of our ideas about how society should work with accepting difference and accepting, mm-hmm. you know, and protecting marginalized groups, so forth and so on. This is the better idea.
Yeah.
And I do think that better ideas win out.
Eventually. In the marketplace of ideas,
yeah.
the better one tends to be the one that's right. that,
and so
that
the
survives.
Only thing the thing that I hate seeing is people just going into their corner and never having this opportunity to rub up against each other.
Well, and that, God damn it. Enough with the rubbing. I mean, no, I'm all for rubbing against each other. I'm a big fan of that. Maybe not at scout camps. But
well, the boys should be able to
sure.
rub up against each other if they
sure.
want to.
As long as I'm not going to go to there. I'm going to stay away from there. Here's what I am going to say, though. It is when everyone secludes themselves is yeah. when we live in bubbles that we become afraid of each other, that we don't listen to each other.
And when Donald Trump becomes elected, we're all just like, what?
Yeah.
How the, this is the America I live in.
Right.
Well, turns
yeah.
out.
Yeah. I think the way to promote inclusiveness, the way to promote non-discrimination is for everybody to have to be with everybody.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's there.
Mix and mingle and rub up against each other.
People. Rub. Will you guys just rub each other, please? Can we all just start rubbing each other? Get up on y'all. That's
sorry. The word came out, and I was like, I see the pitfall.
Well, where's the word? Where's the next word?
Yeah, but by that time, your feet were both planted firmly in that quicksand. You were going down.
Right, but that's why I came up with rub up against ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah? No, it was a decent save if you hadn't completely pointed it out.
Yeah, no.
I could have edited that moment, Dan, to sound just fine, but now, no.
I'm pro rubbing. I'm coming out hard on pro rubbing. You catch that one, everybody? Oh, yeah, let's move on. Do we have any donors?
We do. We have three new donors this week, Dan.
Okay.
We have two new faithful listeners.
Yeah.
Chad and Christiane.
Oh, wonderful.
And Courtney is a new beatified listener.
Oh, wow.
I know. And
so, you know, it's just, I love these people.
I know. And James continues as our Lord and Savior. Yes. So thank you very much, everyone. And if you would like to join them and become a patron of your own.
And help to support a podcast that you're listening to right now.
Yeah, exactly. You can do so by going to our website, thankgodimatheist.com. And clicking on the support tab. And there you'll find a link to Patreon where you can choose the level of your support. And there are rewards and benefits. The most notable of them is that any patron gets access to a commercial-free version of the show. And there are other fun things.
I think the most notable of them is that they will all be blessed by...
With one of our blessings?
By our blessings. We will bless each and every one of you. We do a thing. We don't tell you what it is, but it's amazing. It'll probably cure your cancer.
Mm.
It will probably
Dan, you're making promises we cannot keep.
What? No, you're allowed to do this. Trust me, I've seen everybody do it. I'm not promising, but it will probably.
Oh, there's a chance.
There's a good chance, I would say, that all of your problems will be solved. When we bless you, because you became a patron.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. Good.
So, amen.
Amen.
Well, Frank.
Yeah, Dan.
We, by the time our listeners are hearing us, it will be Ramadan.
Ramadan. Ooh, my favorite, Dan. I love Ramadan.
Everybody's favorite
fasting month. Month-long fasting
Islamic
holiday.
Islamic ninth month on the Islamic calendar. It is the month where Muslims start. They don't eat.
No.
During the daylight hours.
No, it sounds absolutely awful.
Yeah.
This sounds like the worst of all month-long holidays.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Month-long holiday, I'm like, wow, sign me up, right?
Yeah.
I think you find out the details of the damn thing. You're like, no, that sounds fucking miserable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
what? And I have to eat a date? Why? Why do I have to eat a date? I don't understand.
It's a great way to break your fast. So yeah, they spend their days not eating.
Yeah.
Until the end of Ramadan, which is they have the big feast and
like
they
28 days later or whatever.
Yeah, 29 to 30 days. Oof. Based on visual sightings of the crescent moon.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Really? Of course. Of course it has something to do with the crescent moon.
They're very into that crescent moon, boy.
They love it. Yeah.
But you know, is it a waxing crescent? Is it a waning crescent? You could time it so that you had as little time as possible between your crescents.
No, I'm sure there's other rules, Dan.
I know.
These people are rule happy.
Yeah.
But this whole fasting thing got us thinking a little bit, Dan.
It did. You know, we were thinking about Ramadan, and then, you know, so sort of one of us brought up the notion of Fast Sunday, which we had to do as youngins in Mormonism.
And how awful it was.
Every month... the first Sunday of the month. Is it the first?
It's the first. Fast Sunday.
It's
fast and testimony meeting.
And you go, you're supposed to do without food. And it's only until basically after church.
Right.
So you don't eat. And now if you have afternoon church instead of morning church.
Oh, you're fucked.
You're just fucked. Yeah.
You have to wait longer. You have to starve. for and hear people tell their stories later.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it's not just fasting. You also have to sit through all of the all of the lay people in your ward, which is all lay people, really. But everybody gets up and sort of cries about
Jesus. Well, it's open mic Sunday. I mean, that's what's going on, right?
It's open mic. That's right.
And anybody who wants to say anything can go up and say their thing. And there are the five parts of a testimony that they've been pushing on the kids because they realize that every ward has that one person or two or three of them that they get up every single Sunday or every single fast Sunday and just bore everybody to tears.
Just complain about their lives.
Yeah, and like, you know, somebody, and then the screen door got fixed and it was such a blessing.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. And just turn on the waterworks. Ours was Sister Smith.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. You have like four eloquent members of the church, which when they got up, you're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, but the eloquent ones don't get up every time.
No, it's once a year for those folks.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's a fasting tradition in Mormonism, and also there's like the sort of wild card fasting that you can do if somebody's in the hospital or if you need to.
Oh yeah.
You know, if there's an emergency.
Special blessing. You need to call forth special blessings.
If you really need God to hear your prayer,
you just get hungry.
You get hungry,
and then you pray.
And when you pray hungry, boy, it's just louder to God.
It's God's magnifying glass. Hunger.
So that's good. But you know, Judaism has a fasting tradition.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, is it Yom Kippur?
Really, they fast for that.
Yeah, I did not know. So, there's a lot of fasting.
Well, and obviously the Muslims, we've mentioned them.
Yeah,
So there's like this ceremonial, and just this idea of going without, right? Like, like monks and whatnot. Like
Hinduism has a big fasting tradition. Yeah. So. It got us thinking about fasting, this ritual of depriving oneself of food.
Yeah.
Which
there's also, Dan, the ritual is not exclusive to religion.
No,
if you've ever known
not.
Anybody who's done like a master cleanse.
Right. This is where my mind went is like, this is still happening. Like people are still inventing new fasting rituals, new starvation rituals.
Yeah.
Whether it's the master cleanse or like, you know, I just had a friend do Whole 30, which is,
what is that?
Well, you can't eat any dairy or any carbs or whatever. And it's just
really sounds awful.
Yeah. Of course
like
it's
dairy
awful.
And carbs.
Yeah. Those are the
cheese and bread.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah.
Don't take those away from me.
No. But it's. It's this interesting thing. Yeah, all these detox sort of juice cleanse things.
You have
that people
to cleanse out the toxins, Dan. Everybody knows toxins are bad and they must be cleansed.
Right. They can't name a toxin. They don't know what a toxin is. They just know they've got them and they want to get rid of them.
Free radicals, Dan. There are free radicals. I can name that toxin. Is that a toxin?
What's a free radical,
Frank? I don't know what it is.
Nobody knows.
I know they're bad. And you're supposed to take in omega-3s. Because they get in there and they fight the free radicals.
It just sounds like you're sending in stormtroopers to deal with your rebels.
The free radicals?
The free radicals running around.
Well, they've got these crazy ideas.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Just these.
Oh, my God. There are cleanses out there that people do where it's literally just you sort of starve yourself and you drink only water.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
I had a sandwich
before coming over, and that was around noon, and it's 3:46 now and I'm starving.
You're on a cleanse.
And all you've offered me is water. And
man, here's what's going to happen.
But
you're going to start feeling a euphoric state.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet.
No.
It takes a while.
You need to go a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
But that is the thing. So in our little research that you and I did on this, we did start to notice that people start reporting things like going into a euphoric state.
Yeah.
When they do these things.
Clarity of mind. Mental clarity.
Oh, yeah, you hear people talk about mental clarity a lot.
Yeah.
You also hear people talk about, like, feeling more energized or feeling whatever.
That's so weird.
Well, is it, though? Here's the thing. You are shocking your body.
Yeah.
And when you shock your body, shit starts to go schlaunch-wise.
Yeah.
It just happens. So you were talking about, like, when you changed, when you have
all
made
I did was,
big changes
yeah,
in your diet.
Yeah, just saying, and like, you know, nothing like, I'm not trying to starve myself. I'm just kind of maybe testing a little theory about something fucking with my stomach.
Right.
Because I got a stupid sensitive stomach. And so I've shifted things around. I've cut out certain things that I used to eat a lot of.
Right.
Right. And I've noticed in the first few days, there's this sense of like, oh, wow. Like I'm feeling really good.
Hmm.
Right. And I honestly don't think, I think that there's something even on just like taking out specific sources of nutrients. Right. And replacing them with others that I've felt something similar. Now I've never starved myself.
Mm.
And so I don't know if this is anything like, you know, cutting out food entirely,
right,
by going on a cleanse of some sort. But I've felt that with like, oh wow, I'm feeling really, really great. That thing must be really, really bad. No, it turns out not.
Right. You eventually acclimatize to whatever you're doing and your body sort of readjusts.
Goes back
or whatever.
To normal. Yeah.
You and I theorized as we were talking, and we have zero science backing us on this, but it does occur to me that if my body is starving,
uh-huh,
and I start to get a little loopy
initially. Yeah.
It's the same thing, you know, recently when I came back from vacation, we took a red eye home and it was, so I hadn't slept for well over 24 hours.
Oh yeah.
And I started to get a little wonky.
Punchy.
My brain was not functioning at full form.
Right.
And I imagine the same thing starts to happen when you're not nourished properly. Your right. brain starts like getting a little gronky. And it occurred to me that it would make sense in a starvation mode that your brain would kick in some chemicals to get the brain firing as much as it can.
So you can find some fucking food.
So that your quest for food is as benefited as possible.
Yeah.
That makes total sense to me. Now, whether your brain is enhanced, because people do report feeling an enhanced
yeah.
clarity of yeah. mind. Whether it's more clear than it was before you did the fast, or whether it's just now gone suddenly as clear as you were before you got all wonkadoo.
Yeah, yeah. Who can say?
Who can say on that? But boy, people feel like it's the most clear they've ever been.
Yeah.
That's reported by a lot of people. I imagine here's what I can really imagine. Lots of people in situations where they genuinely didn't have enough food,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially ancient civilizations where food was not something that felt like it was forthcoming no matter what, or
right.
poverty stricken nations or whatever. Yeah. People will go into starvation mode and somebody will notice this clarity of mind that they feel. And suddenly it becomes like hey, you guys should try this.
Right.
You know, and if they're the leader of a religious group or whatever,
right.
they start prescribing it to people.
Right.
Try not eating for a few days and you'll feel this euphoria, you'll feel this clarity, you'll feel this interesting right. thing happen to you.
And your interpretation of it
is spiritual.
Yeah. My starvation, my limiting my holding self restraint, right? What's the word I'm looking
self-denial
for?
Self-denial.
Self-denial. That's right. The word. Self-denial is actually pleasing God, and God is rewarding you with all these positive feelings,
mm-hmm.
right? This closeness to God, this sense that you don't have normally. My guess is, Dan, that it's actually probably euphoria and a clarity of mind that's beyond your normal state.
Yeah,
because
maybe
because I mean, or at least that there's something there, probably the euphoria, that is giving you this sense of accessing something that's divine.
Right.
Right. This sense of this is different than my normal state.
Well, yeah.
And therefore it must be I'm closer to God, yeah, and I'm pleasing God. Right.
Well, and I wonder if we're not, you know, if your brain isn't dumping some chemicals that are similar to the brain chemicals that we find when people are having a Jesus experience, when people are having a spiritual experience, because we know that there's an association with brain chemistry.
Yeah.
We know that, you know, there are certain chemicals, which when you feel them, you experience a spiritual or a God experience. So that's interesting to me. There's also, you know, if you go on a diet, you know, if you go on a starvation sort of thing, a cleanse that doesn't include any nutrients, that's just sort of you, no food and you get water, you can go into a state called ketosis.
Oh, yeah.
Ketosis is not a good thing for you, but it means your body has no carbohydrates to burn for energy. So it burns stored fat or whatever else is available. You'll feel like shit. Apparently, you'll smell bad even, and that's the minute that people swoop in and say the smell is toxins leaving your body.
Oh wow,
that's not what that smell is.
But nonetheless, no, it's the keto diet where it's just like all fats and they cut out carbs,
right,
and eat all protein sources or something like
well,
that.
Well, you right. know, you will lose weight. Like the Atkins diet uh-huh. of old.
Right.
If you cut out carbs, you will lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you go on a juice fast, no, it'll all come back because that's what happened with the Atkins diet. That's what happens with all of these diets is that you yo-yo straight back and maybe even gain a little bit more depending on how long you did it.
Right.
Because really what you're losing is your water.
Right.
The water weight, and your body just replenishes that when it starts to not be in a panic that you're going to die of starvation again.
Yeah. I think there's probably a little bit more to that, but.
Anyway, yeah, we are not doctors. Do not take medical advice from us, but do your research. Yeah. Because, first of all, if anyone ever says the word toxin to you and they're trying to get you to do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them what toxins.
Yeah.
They don't know.
Well, the people that I've known who've done keto, they weren't doing it to get rid of toxins. And I've known one person in particular who, you know, coupled with a very rigorous exercise regimen, lost quite a bit of weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Sure. So. I mean, and if you shock your body,
yeah,
it's a great way to lose weight. Mind you, once it comes out of shock, there's a good chance it will.
Well, it depends on your habits
right.
at that point.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you just
go back to your old ways, then yeah.
Well, even if you don't, a lot of times people's bodies will sort of acclimatize to whatever the new thing is and eventually go back to the weight that they wanted that it wanted to be in the beginning. But that's not what this is about. This isn't about losing weight. Although some of the most interesting things that we came across, you came across on a website having to do with anorexia.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is
it was a little horrifying actually, because it sounded like to me, just reading through, you know, people who were struggling with anorexia, this description of like this state of mind and this feeling that would come over them as they were starving themselves and how wonderful it was actually.
And that I found to be totally fascinating.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know,
really scary.
I mean, these people are kind of starving themselves because, to start with, ostensibly for weight reasons, they feel insecure about their body
image. Is yeah,
they have, and fucked usually up. They have some sort of really dysmorphic body image.
Absolutely, yeah.
But then they just stop eating, and they get to a point in that process where it becomes euphoric, where it becomes desirable, and that had never occurred to me before. Like I had always thought that this was driven entirely by this sense that their body needed to change size, and that's, but boy, you add to that, to this sort of weight obsession, you add a euphoric feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see how that could become a disorder on the right quick.
Yeah, well, because all of a sudden you have a reward for your really negative behavior.
Right. Like, as a matter of fact, I think advocating for these detox things could be really dangerous because you could be introducing someone to starvation as a sort of
addiction or whatever.
Yeah, they could establish a disorder.
Yeah,
based on this notion of like losing weight and B, getting kind of getting high.
Yeah, cleanses.
It worries me.
There's a guy at work who every so often does the master cleanse.
Mm.
And he goes through it.
Sounds like a Nazi thing to me, but I'm sure it's not.
It's not. He only drinks like this weird concoction of like, it's mostly water with some cayenne pepper, I think some lemon juice and some honey. And that's all he gets, right? And boy, if he doesn't get a little grumpy at a certain point in the process.
What?
I know. Surprising.
What? Impossible.
And he gets a little absent-minded for a little bit of the process. But then he hits a point where he kind of like gets a little bit of a second wind, and he's talked about sort of just this high that he gets on it. That he feels great. He just...
Yeah.
So everything's like really clear. His mind is clear, crystal clear, right?
Like the waters of Maui.
Yeah. No, but like, I mean, that's kind of scary stuff.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you touched upon it. This is starvation mode. This is your body. You're needing you to be able to focus on getting food.
Yeah.
Desperately.
Yeah.
Needing you to be very clear as to what is going on in your surroundings so that you can fucking find some fucking food because your body's dying.
Let me tell you something, though. That guy does not have as many toxins as you do. You are fucking loaded with toxins. That guy...
Chock full.
Clean as a whistle.
Well, I love a good toxin, Dan. What? And I actually do. The things that they say are all sort of toxifying. Boy, shit.
Yeah.
I love me some booze.
Yeah.
Let me some red meat.
Well, let me tell you something. Alcohol is an actual toxin.
It is an actual toxin.
That's a real toxin. Yeah. And I can name it. And I know what it is. And I know what it's doing to me.
But my liver filters out that toxin.
You know what's amazing?
Yeah.
That's what livers do. Your body has this great mechanism for getting rid of toxins. You want to know what it is? Livers.
So take care of your liver, folks. That's the message.
Right. You don't have to like drink all juice for a week. You don't have to do anything. You've already got an organ designed specifically for toxin filtration.
Yeah.
And then you just pee it right out.
Yeah, isn't that great?
All your toxins, you just pee and poop it right out.
Wow.
So yes. Did you I just looked it up. Did you know the Master Cleanse was initially published in the 40s?
I believe it.
And then revived in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
God, we're idiots.
Just, yeah.
As a group, as a collective group, we human beings are so dumb. And I include myself. I am not exempt from this at all.
Yeah.
We are, and until we just start acknowledging how stupid we are,
yeah,
we're just going to keep repeating the same dumb mistakes.
I know.
Over and over, because it's what we do.
It is what.
So, ladies and gentlemen, go out there, starve yourselves, feel some euphoria if you want to. Oh, my God.
Seems like a really cheap way to get some clarity of mind.
Cheap, yeah. You're spending no money on food.
Exactly.
Yeah. That is a cheap high. Mind you, you'll get headaches. You'll be grumpy
for a while. You just work through the grumpy.
Yeah, you got to get
through the headaches.
Well, it's kind of backwards from some drugs, because some drugs you take and like the next day, like you feel euphoric that night, and then the next day you're like, oh, I feel like shit.
Right. You got to work through
alcohol,
the shit.
This way, you're doing it backwards. You're paying for it with the shit up front.
Yeah.
But you get the euphoria on the back end.
That's the way to do it.
And let me tell you something. Whenever one of my friends does a cleanse, the happiest moment of their entire lives is when they get to eat that first pizza afterwards.
Yeah. It probably tastes so good, Dan. You don't even know how good pizza can taste.
I don't. I don't have that sense.
Yeah.
Because I just enjoy it on the standard non-starvation levels. I just enjoy it in the night. Like, all I'm doing is enjoying, like, what my taste buds are getting after. And a little bit of feeling full. Like an idiot. Here I am eating pizza normal way like an idiot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you have experiences with starvation or cleansing and you want to set us straight, we are wrong or we're right, and you want to tell us, write to us, podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Yeah, get your voice on the show. That's fun. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist.
And while on Facebook, you can search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge and request to join.
Yeah.
It's a closed group, but we'll let you in. And yeah. It's awesome.
It's great. Thanks so much to the people who make our Facebook presence possible.
Thank them twice, Dan.
I thanked them twice.
Because I didn't thank them last week.
Okay.
I remember Danny.
Okay, great. Fantastic. First, we'll start with Mackenzie, who does the Facebook page. Who's awesome. But yes, thanks to Sarah, Amy, and Danny.
There we go.
Sarah and Amy, thank you so much. And also Danny, but mostly Sarah and Amy.
Because they didn't get thanked last week.
Right. For all of your hard work moderating the Members Only Lounge. That's amazing. And also,
thanks to the Red Rock Hot Club and Gordon Johnston for the use of their music.
Their fine, fine music. And thank you, dear listener, for tuning in every week. As we know you do, we sure do appreciate it.
Bye!